This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
تسليما كثيرا. And even knows what the animals feel. We praise him, we ask him, and upon him we have reliance. And it is him we only turn to for true guidance. And we send peace, prayers, and blessings of God and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala upon the best of human beings and prophets, the best of examples, upon whom be praised, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, until the very end of our days. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for mercy, assistance, and to never lead us astray, and for Him to save us on Judgment Day. SubhanAllah, I love this community, and I'm sure every person that visits this masjid, they love this community. Alhamdulillah, there's a lot of friends here. Our mashayikh, Sheikh Yasir, SubhanAllah, is one of the most beloved people to me, SubhanAllah, and had a very, very strong effect, you know, on my life personally growing up. So it's just, SubhanAllah, it's a great honor just being here to speak in front of Sheikh Omar Suleiman, very, you know, our mentor, teacher, and SubhanAllah, very, very close friend. And ask Allah SubhanAllah to increase you, mashallah, this community is always, we're hearing great things about it. So I definitely keep up. And one thing I definitely want to say before I even start is the fact that whoever is recording the Riyadh al-Saliheen, by Sheikh Yasa that's happening after Isha, may Allah reward you with Jannah. Because that was one of my ardent wishes, that somebody record the Sheikh's lectures and it be made available. And I listen to them from Medina and benefit from them. The Sheikh subhanAllah has wonderful insight that even we benefit from. I want to ask you all a question. If you could pick one characteristic or a habit that's very pervasive or in our society and culture that you would want to change. It's a negative habit, and it's something that is, you find it in our culture. It's very like prevalent. What would you say, Umar?
Are you talking about
in this in our culture? In our culture. When I say our culture, American culture. Like, you're not Afghani, right? Most of you, right? Our culture meaning American culture. I asked you. Backbiting, okay.
Untrustworthiness,
okay. Anybody else?
Stereotype.
Stereotyping. Prejudice. Selfishness. Anybody else?
Not respecting the elders.
SubhanAllah. Anybody else? Take two more. Yes. Not being able to keep commitments. Okay. What else?
Indecency.
SubhanAllah. So, okay, not being a family. Okay, not being family oriented. SubhanAllah. These are all very, very powerful habits. I was considering more habits or like characteristics, like backbiting. Somebody was mentioning. Somebody said not holding commitments. Indecency, I guess, can be a sort of a habit. But there's one prevailing habit that, SubhanAllah, some of these are very, very powerful and strong, you know, like indecency. But there's a habit that's very pervasive that maybe one of us indulges in. Every one of us has a part in doing this habit. And there's parts of this habit which is positive and parts of it which is very, very negative. And you see it almost on a day-to-day basis. It's that pervasive. It's that ingrained in our culture. To the extent that they said that this particular habit costs America $510 billion a year. And they said that 78% of your work day, 3 to 6 hours of it is dedicated to dealing with this habit. 78% of all work, 3 to 6 hours is related to dealing with this habit. Okay, now, give me guesses. Huh? Hold on one second. What is that? Internet online. Okay, yes. Gossip. Overeating. May Allah make us skinnier, yellow. Yeah. Good. So, what? Time wasting. Okay. Procrastinating. Okay. Huh? I'm sorry?
Smoking.
Smoking.
No, he said
Social networking. So that was not what he said. Okay. Social networking. We'll take two more. Two more. Yes. Wasting food. One thousand. Business what? Laziness. Okay, none of you guessed it. SubhanAllah. Naam? Okay. The habit is complaining. Complaining. To such an extent, there's a complaint department in almost every single department store. Just to take your suggestion. There's even a suggestion box in this masjid somewhere, right? There's a, and I call it the complaint box too as well, because you have your complaints or your suggestions, you put it in this box. Complaining is a habit that's so pervasive in our culture. It happens on a day-to-day basis. Amongst Muslims, amongst, you know, your family members, complaining about your job, complaining about how you deal with each other, complaining about your friends. And then brings into the other elements and other bad habits as well. Like elements of gossip. Elements of backbiting. It could even include elements of indecency. Complaining, subhanAllah, is a natural habit. It's a natural characteristic. It's a natural human thing to complain about one certain situation. So what is the Quranic guidance when it comes to this natural habit of complaining? How can we look at complaining and say, how did Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us even guidance in our natural habits? Because in that is where the true message of Islam, you see the example of what the Prophet ﷺ gave in his character, when Aisha radiallahu anha said, كَانَ خُلُقُهُ الْقُرْآنِ, that he made his habits the Qur'an, in that guidance. So subhanAllah, what I did is I looked at the thematic overview of the Qur'an in complaining. How did Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala deal with complaining in the Qur'an? And I'll give you three stories inshallah, and then some practical guidance that I came and derived from some of these stories. First and foremost, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, one thing I found very, very powerful of how Allah guides us in the Qur'an. Most of the time how He guided us, you have to reflect over when you're reading the Qur'an. This was first and foremost a message to An-Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam and the companions. So when you're reading it, you have to also imagine that this was also direction to the Prophet himself. So how did the Prophet get guidance through his manners and characteristics and also be given direction and commandments and prohibitions? It was through stories. It was through the example of others before him. And that's why the vast majority of direction in the Qur'an is through the stories of the prophets and those who exemplified what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wanted for us. So it's not just theoretical, you know, concepts, but it's the example of these messengers and prophets that gave a full picture through that guidance. And subhanAllah, one of the best examples is the example of Ibrahim alayhi salam. Why? Because this is the only prophet in the entire Qur'an that we were guided to and commanded by Allah to follow him completely in everything he did. Every other prophet, one of his legislations in that particular time period or was abrogated. Like for example, the direction or legislation to Musa alayhi salam was abrogated, parts of it. Some of the legislation given to Isa alayhi salam, Jesus, was abrogated. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said about Ibrahim alayhi salam, ثُمَّ أُوحَيْنَا إِلَيْكَ أَنِ اتَّبِعْ مِلَّةَ إِبْرَاهِيمَ حَنِيفًا, that we have revealed to you to follow the way of the religion of Ibrahim alayhi salam. And Ibrahim alayhi salam, one of the things that occurred to him that we all know and heard is that he left his family in a barren land which has nothing simply because of the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Leave your family here in this particular land. So what did he do? He said, ربنا إني أسكنت من ذريتي بواد غير ذي زرع عند بيتك المحرم ربنا ليقيموا الصلاة فاجعل أفئدة من الناس تهوي إليهم وارزقهم من الثمرات لعلهم يشكرون. He said, turning to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the one who already knows what command he gave him in the situation and what he left his family with. He said, oh our Lord, I have settled and I have set some of my descendants, of my family, my child, in an uncultivated valley near your sacred house. Why? He said to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, so that, oh Allah, that they may establish your prayer. This is the only reason why I did it. To establish your command so that they may establish your prayer. you remember it. So make the hearts of people inclined towards them and provide for them fruits so that they may be grateful. Keep this story in mind. Another example is the story, subhanAllah, is that the ayat that Umar Umar recited in the salah. Which surah did he recite? Huh? Surah Maryam. SubhanAllah, very, very powerful surah. And the ayat are extremely powerful, and we'll go over why. Especially when she said, فَأَجَاهَا الْمَخَاضُ إِلَىٰ جِذْعِ النَّخْلَةِ قَالَتْ يَا لَيْتَنِي مِتُّ قَبْلَ هَذَا وَكُنْتُ نَسْيًا مَنْسِيًّا. She complained of that situation. An angel even came to her and told her, this is a commandment from God and you will be given this blessing of a sign for mankind. And she still, after she received that message, she complained of her situation to such an extent. She said, I wish that I was dead, forgotten, and I never existed before this. Like to that level. And another example was the example of Yusuf alayhi salam's father, Yaqub alayhi salam. After he found out his sons were dead, and he thought that they had perished, he still had hope. He was given the news that you have lost a child. And what did he said? قَالَ إِنَّمَا أَشْكُو بَثِّي وَحُزْنِي إِلَى اللَّهِ وَأَعْلَمُ مِنَ اللَّهِ مَا لَا تَعْلَمُونَ. He said, I only complain of my suffering and my grief to Allah. And I know about Allah that which you do not know. In these three particular stories, there's just extremely powerful messages and guidance from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, how to direct our natural habit of complaining. Five things. The very first and foremost, if you look and read the Qur'an, the exemplary model of how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants us to deal with many of the hardships and difficulties, and when we complain about them, is to first and foremost complain to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. إِنَّمَا أَشْكُو بَثِّي وَحُزْنِي إِلَى اللَّهِ. That I complain my distress and my worry to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Many of us, when we get worked up in a situation, some difficulty that we're going through, the first thing that we do is forget everything. And that's a natural human instinct. And we become engrossed in that hardship. Become engrossed in that difficulty with one spouse, with difficulty at work, or whatever it may be. You just become engrossed and you forget. And this is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is calling us back, that even in these moments, the strongest form of strength is to call to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in that time of complaint. The second thing is that the natural reaction of complaining is not wrong. In the example of Maryam alayhi salam, she complained to the extent that she said, I wish I was dead before this, and I never existed. I mean, the highest form of complaint. I wish this never happened to me. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave her strength, physically and emotionally and spiritually. So anyone who is going through that distress and they have complaint, it's not to suppress that complaint. Rather, it's to direct it and give it guidance through the guidance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Thirdly, is that if one is going through a very difficult situation, that you seek counsel from a specialist. And this is in the life of the Prophet ﷺ, that when he was first receiving the message from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he had received solace and comfort from his wife, but his wife didn't tell him, well, I think, you know, what happened to you is this and this and that. She took him to what? She took him to a specialist by the name of Waraqah bin Nawfal. At that time, who was a pure worshipper of God. And he was a Christian who was pure, worshipped Imam Rafi'ah. And he was the one who guided him and told him that the person that came to you was the angel Jibreel. A specialist. And we have two problems when it comes to this particular thing. A big problem. Number one, we have, unfortunately, the habit of going to people who are not specialists when we ask advice about our situation. When somebody's going through a very difficult, you know, problem, they go, unfortunately, to the wrong people when they're seeking counsel. And number two, the wrong people are giving counsel. If somebody comes to you with a very, you know, difficult situation or a question about Islamic law or finance, don't just give your opinion. Guide them to the specialists. Well, what about psychology, counseling? Somebody's going through difficulty with any kind of problems with drugs or even worse. You need to go to a specialist. And number four is that the Prophet ﷺ sought solace in the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that, remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala often, because in the remembrance of Allah do hearts find rest. And this is something we often forget when we're in difficulty. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala calls us to that when we're actually in that state of difficulty, because that will give us solace and it will give us comfort. And lastly, never underestimate the power of dua. Every single example I would look through, the most powerful form of complaint and solving a person's problem and what they're complaining about was through connecting with the divine. And that was the primary way how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala brought solutions to that person. One of the last things I want to finish with, inshallah, is that as I walked in and I heard these verses being recited, I said, subhanallah, it's Allah Azza wa Jal, like, you know, giving that comfort to me personally, particularly, of what I'm about to speak about. And it allowed me to reflect even deeper on some of the meanings, and I benefited from the way even the stops that Umar had in his recitation. One thing I want to relate to you is that we cannot lose connection from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in our day-to-day life. That everything happens for a reason. You will meet a person, and he will say something to you, and it's as if that Allah sent that individual to you, solving your problem. And this is a sign of the existence of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala itself. So when you know this, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is taking care of you in this way, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's decree is functions in this way, you will never complain of the decree of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in your life. You will always accept what happens in your life. And I guarantee you, there's somebody in this room, subhanAllah, by just the words that we said, and they're maybe going through a very difficult situation, and it's as if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent me from Medina, from Austin, to come and speak to you. Wallahi, I guarantee it. Maybe you come tomorrow and say that to Shaykh Yasir. Because this is how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala functions in this universe. This is the connection we have with our Creator. وَصَلَّى اللَّهُ وَسَلَّمَ عَلَى نَبِيِّنَا مُحَمَّدٍ وَعَلَى آلِهِ وَصَحْبِهِ وَسَلَّمَ تَسْلِيمًا كَثِيرًا. Ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to allow us to gather us with the companionship of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and to bless this community and to allow it to flourish. And inshallah, next time I come, we'll see that in the big masjid, inshallah. وَصَلَّى اللَّهُ وَسَلَّمَ عَلَى نَبِيِّنَا مُحَمَّدٍ. جَزَاكُمُ اللَّهُ خَيْرًا.